Hare Krishna. Yesterday we had a great conference of Bhakti College, Adit's late conference, soul conference, existence conference, downtown. And the theme this year was protection of the environment. That's not my pocket. And it's my dusty. And it was very successful. It was a packed house, and it started off with two environmentalists giving us the facts, statistics. One of them is someone whom we've known for quite some time, and there's well, both of them we know. And and it was very, for me, it was a real eye-opener. Eye-opener in the sense that just hearing them. I also made my presentation on protecting the environment, and protecting the environment means protecting it from us, and that ultimately it was our own greed that leads to the abuse on the environment. And unless we actually change our hearts, purify our hearts, all these other efforts aren't really going to work. But aside from that, of course, I'm always used to looking at the world through the eyes of Bhagavatam. And when you look through the eyes of Bhagavatam and Gita, then it's clear that sinful activities have their reaction, and the world is not going to go on in the degraded way that it's going on without any kind of payoff sometime. And that sometime could be soon, or it can be even sooner than we think, but ultimately there has to be a reaction to the many atrocities that human beings commit against each other, not just in the name of war and religion, but in the name of eating and culture and civilization and progress and consumerism and, anyway, you name it. But there's another perspective, and that's the empiric perspective, and that's what these professors give. They see, well, what is it that we can see? What are these statistics that you can measure? And I'm not going to give any. If you want, you can download so many statistics on global warming, on abuse of the environment, and it's certainly frightening, the reality of the situation, that the world is in a stage of irrevocable change. It's not what it used to be. People can't make it be what it used to be, and they're not about to try. We have conferences. There's a conference coming up in Paris right now, and it's a very major conference. All the global leaders are also going to attend. And at least there's a show, or there's some noises about how they're going to decrease carbon dioxide emission and somehow or another limit the damage that's being done to the environment. But it's too little, too late, and the world is irrevocably changing. But, and for me it was shocking. It was shocking. What was, of course, also shocking was that, was my own reaction to what I heard, which was, well, something like the ostrich head in the hole syndrome. So while, you know, I accept that Dukkhalaya Mashashvatam, material world is a miserable place, people are suffering, and so on. But at the same time, the natural tendency is that everyone's looking for harmony. Everyone's looking to maintain the status quo. We want to We want to continue living like we're living, or we want to live better. And although, of course, the saying's there, you prepare for the worst and hope for the best. But hoping for the best tends to overshadow preparing for the worst. So my own shock at just what's going on and what are the imminent threats to the world, to us. And of course, it's something that I see when I talk to devotees. I mean, what to speak of the world around us. And this morning I was just reading one article that was just in the wake of the Paris meetings. It was giving a very interesting statistic that since the last Copenhagen conference in 2009, people in the world have become less interested in taking drastic measures to save the environment. Not more, less. And probably one reason for that is because the recession has sort of receded a little. In other words, there's even less support, or there's less pressure on the politicians and big business, big industry, to make the type of changes that we really need to do to change in our lifestyle in order to avert, I don't know if we can avert it, but at least maybe diminish what's coming down the road. And of course, I'm by nature, I've inherited a pessimistic attitude, and so I try to keep that in mind, prepare for the worst. That was one of the reasons why we started New Rajadhan, give devotees a facility for self-sufficiency, not just self-sufficiency as a preaching tool, but self-sufficiency when there's nothing else to subsist on. But in my discussions with devotees, not just young devotees, but senior devotees and so on, this topic is not a priority for them, at least the way the message that I get or pick up is that as the world is now, so the world will continue to be, and we should, you know, make plans on the basis of what the world is. But of course, that's not what Bhagavatam says, and certainly not what these scientists say. And that's their major frustration, of course. One thing is that there's a problem, but the other is that, you can only solve a problem if you got the right reaction. But when the reaction is that everyone sticks their head in the sand, from general mass of people to politicians, the leaders who can do something, then what can you do? You can shout wolf as much as you like, but no one's really going to believe you when they're going to chant, oh, no, those statistics are not right and it's not happening. Very convincing, and as you can see, I'm convinced, even by the empiric model, that it's happening. And whether it's the melting of the polar caps, economic collapse, or the other types of global warming, which will affect not only our temperature, but obviously the crops that grow, the crops that don't grow, what you eat, the availability of water. Water means you don't have water, that means you don't exist. So wars will easily break out over just water resources. And it could be it's a different world. And it may be that that world has to be a prelude to the golden age. Srila Prabhupada indicated that these things can be averted by getting people to change. In other words, he said, if you preach, if people change, then their karma changes. And that was one of the points that I raised yesterday when the scientists were talking about what the model is, based on what model do they evaluate these things on, because there's another subtle part of the model that they don't consider. And that model is the karmic part, which I mentioned earlier. That even if they convince everyone to stop ruining the atmosphere and spoiling the waters and everything else, and even if that stopped, but unless people stop their sinful activities, something's going to happen. As Prabhupada said, material nature will not tolerate all the sinful conduct that's going on. So there has to be some type of reaction. For instance, they have many biblical stories about how there was famine and drought and so on, and it wasn't because there was big industry at that time. It was because people were sinful. The correlation is clearly made. And that's there in all scriptures. Hope for the best, but got to prepare for the worst. And first preparation really is a psychological one. That can happen, it will happen. And how do we plan for the future? How do we view the world? Well, of course, if we really took it very seriously, we would take our self-sufficient communities and farms very seriously. That's not necessarily going to be the case. But it may be a real problem when you've got nothing else to do but eat your computer. I don't know how you digest it. You've got to have some really good spices on hand for that. And so we need to plan in a different way. At least we need to make the alternative, and we can't say we weren't warned, because Srila Prabhupada told us that almost 50 years ago, and he began that process of self-sufficient communities so that we can exist and solve the basic problem of life, which is to eat. Hare Krishna.